Hey everybody, I'm Tom Dorsey.
I'm Jay Gragnani.
And it is the 19th of July, 2017. And you can't get over this summer fast enough for me.
Summer's moving on. 100-degree temperatures are coming.
Yeah, Friday is 100 degrees. And then you have the humidity attached to it. So what do you call that temperature?
The real temperature? The real feel is what the iPhone app calls it. But
the real feel?
It says, or feels like.
Okay.
It says feels like heat index. Heat index.
The heat index, yeah. I can see it on my feels like getting the hell out of
here. That's right. And
You know, next week I'm going to go down to Florida where it's cooler. I've got to get to Florida. It's hell up here in
Richmond. If you can get to close to the water, then you get some breeze.
Yeah, that's
where
you'll
be all right. It'll still be humid. I'll tell you what, I was in Florida a month ago and it was humid. A month ago in Florida.
You were inside Florida?
I was inside Florida, yeah. It's humid down there, but.
My God.
It's, that's what you expect in Richmond this time of year, though. So we've got another good month of this to go.
Well, it's interesting, you know, when you look at volatility in the markets now, we're at like 35 or 38-year lows in volatility, and trading has really dried up for the most part. I know international companies I know very well are down 30-40% in trading volume. You would think that volatility's got to pick up from here, but that would be the same concept of thinking, gee, interest rates have to rise. And every one of these brilliant interest rate people have lost their careers, putting themselves on the line saying interest rates have to go up from here. Yeah. Well, they didn't.
Yeah.
Back down again. And Yellen last week, I mean, basically said, hey, I'm going to be in love. So what's happened? Rates down again.
Yeah.
I mean, in managing a portfolio, do you do a lot of stock?
No.
You do ETFs?
I do a lot of ETFs. Almost mostly ETFs, yeah, nowadays. With a few stocks sprinkled in there, but it's mostly ETFs that are in my accounts and family accounts that I manage, yeah.
The only things that I do with stock is mostly on a covered right basis or by utilizing our models. And I think that's the key there is by utilizing the model. I feel comfortable when I buy – you know, in other words, if I was back in production, I've always said this. Mr. Jones calls me up and says, Tom, what do you think about the aerospace sector? I say, okay, I like the aerospace sector. Here's the reason why. Our firm likes it. We've got this research, et cetera, et cetera. He says, okay, what stock should I buy? Well, I don't think you should buy a stock. I think you should buy five stocks. And that's where I go over to the model, and I look at the aerospace holdings, and the customer doesn't even need to know that I'm looking at the aerospace holdings. And I look at them, and I said, you know, what I want to buy in your account is Alaska Air, Copa Holdings SA, Huntington Ingersoll in Industries, Southwest Airlines, and lastly, KLX Incorporated. And he may not understand what a couple of those are, like Copa Holdings, and I'll go into a Copa Holdings is this, et cetera. But these are the five that I want to buy you because they've got the best relative strength in the aerospace airlines. Mr. Jones is going to say, fine, buy them.
Yeah.
And that makes the most sense. Now I just have to sit back and wait for something to happen. Now, the Dorsey Wright system is going to give me notifications whenever I have to sell something. So this year so far, you've had – whenever you sell something, you buy something. So it's saying this particular – in other words, this pitcher, his relative strength has gotten to the point I have to take him off the mound and replace him with someone from the bullpen.
Right.
And so you're going to have a sell and a buy combination. It's happened three times this year. So, okay, that's manageable. But the system has told you exactly what to do, and you didn't have to be watching it yourself. The system watched you. But important, like we just had a discussion, is that you're involved – because you can look at the order and make sure that it goes in properly.
Yeah.
Rather than electronically going in where, like you mentioned, all of a sudden you're net short 1,000 shares because of a glitch.
If you meant to sell the 100 shares that you owned and you accidentally sold 1,000 shares, well, you're net short 900 shares of stock now. That's a problem.
And the margin account's coming after you.
That's right. And you know, you look at the models, and I do, you know, I do a lot of ETFs. But I look at the models as – you know, a quasi ETF that lets me own a basket of stocks, but I actually see all of those underlying names, and I know when I see a stock like, you know, Southwest Airlines, I can see that plane, you know, I can hear the dings that, that go off as you're running through the airport and watching it board. And so there's certainly...
And leaving you.
And leaving you behind. And seeing the door close as I'm waving at the, you know. But, you know, there's this idea of certainly, you know, ETFs, there's... I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, 2,500 ETFs in the U.S. And you know, well over and assets are coming in record numbers this year. But still that idea, you own stocks, but you don't have to do it in a way that is different than the process or the tools that you have at your disposal to manage ETF portfolios. You can do it utilizing individual securities, whereas you know if something falls out of favor from a relative strength perspective, that stock's going to get removed, and the system's going to send you an email that says, hey, you need to sell this stock, you need to buy this stock, and you make that change in the portfolio, and then you move on to the next thing or to the next model. And so I do take a lot of comfort in the ideas. Look, I like to own individual stocks, and doing it through the models is the most efficient way that I've found to do it.
You know, you end up buying some stocks that you probably would never have covered. Like I look at the automobile sector, that's up 18% this year, and you have your own stocks like Dorman Products. Well, I don't really know what Dorman Products does. I mean, I know they make automobile type products, but it'd be interesting to go into the Google and type in Dorman Products. Dana Incorporated. I'm not sure what Dana Incorporated does. That symbol DAN. I'd have to Google that. Oshkosh Corporation. I kind of know that, but I still would want to Google it too, because you get so far away from equities, you start forgetting what they are. And Navistar, we know that. Navistar, you know, making the tractors and that type of thing. And Race, RACE, is in the portfolio. That's Ferrari NV.
And that's an interesting one. I mean, you look at the chart of Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
That chart, if you were just to, you know, step back and think about what's gone on in the automobile industry, the biggest trend, or at least the biggest thing that people talk about, is the movement, gravitation towards, towards electric vehicles. You know, the Teslas of the world, Amazon possibly getting into that world. Well, Ferrari is a sports car.
Yep.
Look at the chart of that.
Fantastic.
It's gone, you know, from its low point in February of 2016 of $32. It's now trading in the 90s. And so, it's pretty interesting. You wouldn't necessarily think about that, but just letting the models run, letting them do what they're going to do, you see names like Ferrari that you wouldn't otherwise take a look at.
Yeah, and you may not want to buy the Ferrari itself in a customer's portfolio, but if you bought it within a model, and then it's 20% of the portfolio, 20% of that model, you can look at the chart of the model. That's what I do is I utilize the models, and it makes me feel comfortable, because having been a stockbroker before, I know what makes me feel comfortable and uncomfortable. I've been around here for 43 years. What really makes me feel comfortable is more on the indexing side, and it's not just indexing by the S&P 500. It's buying the S&P 500 smart indexing portfolio, where you do use relative strength to go through all of the NASDAQ or S&P indexes. Mm-hmm. Most people don't realize NASDAQ has a NASDAQ 500.
Index, yeah.
NASDAQ 500 index. How is that different from the S&P 500 index? Different in that the NASDAQ 500 is the 500 largest stocks in America. The S&P 500 you think is the 500 largest stocks in America, but may not be. Not necessarily the 500 largest. So here you have a NASDAQ play that you can talk to a customer and say, these are the 500 largest companies in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cap weight and equal weight.
That's right. Yeah. 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 I mean, that you look and it's interesting. You don't think about it that, you know, NASDAQ has over 40,000 indexes that get calculated out all over the world. And so there's a way and a model on the website that utilizes those two indexes inside of them, and that's the People's Portfolio Model, and that was a model that
that's a model been around, I created.
It's been around for how long now? I want to say 10 years, but I think it was 2009, so I think it was about 8 years. That that rotates and looks at the NASDAQ 500 versus the NASDAQ 500 equal weight. Well,
as you know, guess what? It's coming out in an ETF.
It will be coming out in an ETF, that strategy, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. It's already been filed for registration.
The First Trust People's Portfolio ETF will be out. I think registration papers are out there, so you could Google that and probably find the registrations and all that kind of stuff on it. But it's an interesting concept that's very, very simple, but has worked very well over time.
It has, and you know the concept came about on the People's Portfolio. When I looked out the window one day and I saw this guy in this big mower and he's mowing the grass outside our office, mm-hmm. and I said, "Who helps him? Does he go to Merrill Lynch and open an account with his $3,000? No, they run him out on a rail.
Yeah.
They won't let him in. So who helps him? So I thought about that and I said, let's create the People's Portfolio, something that the ordinary guy who would not have a stock account or have a broker could do. And it was a combination between the S&P 500 cap weight, S&P 500 equal weight, and cash. The cash part of the equation was the first time we did something with built-in risk management. Mm-hmm. The cash part, one of the reasons that no money manager has been able to do better than this for the most part over the last since the year 2000 has been cash has moved in two times, 2002, 2008. And that's important. So when you look at it now, instead of looking at S&P, you're going to use NASDAQ 500, which is going to be the exact 500 largest stocks in America, and that will be equal weighted and cap weighted. So you look at the comparison and contrast between the two, throw in the cash concept with MNYMKT, which is a symbol that we use for cash, and you have the three, whichever one of those three have the best relative strength, 100% of the portfolio is in it. So for you, not necessarily 100% of your portfolio, although you could do that.
Sure.
But it would be, let's say, 100% of that piece of the portfolio that you have there.
Yeah.
Interesting concept. And I named it the People's Portfolio for a reason. It's for the people. It's for everybody. It's for all of those middle-class people out there that may not have a brokerage account yet that you can approach. Mm-hmm. It's for all those people's children.
Yeah. And really, I mean, you look at it right now and it's in equal weight.
Mm-hmm.
That index is still in equal weight, or the People's Portfolio model is in equal weight, and it's been that way for years.
Yep.
And as
it's long term in nature. It's not.
Yeah. It doesn't change. Yeah. It doesn't change. You know, it's a handful of times over the past 10 years, but you look at that as well as the S&P 500, or as well as large cap U.S. indexes have done this year, or over the past years. The equal weighted has done better. If you go back and you look at the past 10 years, the equal weighted has been the Absolutely. Better index to be in, and that may change at some point down the road. And it's not, you know, 1 or 2% is not going to change it. But if we see a meaningful change on that relative strength chart, then that index, that strategy, will automatically switch over to a cap weighted. And if you run into another 2008 type of environment again, then it can raise cash.
Interesting play. You know, here's another thing. I looked at the MNTM, or is it MTUM? What's that one? A momentum one?
Yep, MTUM.
MTUM. And you look at the MTUM, and Tommy Doyle and I were talking about this the other day, and I said, you know, that thing has done so well over the last few years. I said, you know, I almost, when you look at the MTUM with PDP, which is our technical leaders, you'd say, I got to just own the MTUM. But that would be a fallacy of composition there. Mm-hmm. Because the MTUM has done well in this particular market, but when you look at years before, PDP beat it up like crazy.
Yeah.
So it depends on, if you don't go back enough to look at that when the market was different, you wouldn't notice it. You'd say MTUM was the play. And Tommy had a great analogy on that. He said, you know what it's like is the MTUM is like it's a whole army. It's a big battalion. No soldier left behind, period. Anyone who straggles, no problem. We're going to wait and we're going to pick you up and we're going to go as a whole army together. The PDP is different. The PDP is SEAL Team 1. Mm-hmm. If you're straggling behind, you're out of here. We're moving on.
Get out of the boat.
you're going to have to be as strong as we are to continue moving forward, or you're going to be left behind. So the relative strength-wise. So one is no man left behind, mm-hmm. and the other is if you can't keep up, you're out of here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting concept when you think about those two.
And that's it, because you look at the name of the ETFs, and they both have momentum in the name of them.
That's right.
But when you drill down and look at this, the strategies behind them, they're different.
Yeah,
they're
so different. So don't be fooled by performance over the last few years and think, gee, was that the only one I can do?
Yeah.
Heck no. That PDP is going to come on strong, because we've been in a market. You look back in so many years, are we in a stock market? Or are we in a market of stocks? And when you look at we're in a stock market like 1998, you just want to buy the index.
Yeah.
You know, you want to stay with, it's kind of like, I want to be one of the bunch bananas, you know. But the other way is when, once you're no longer in that stock market and you're in a market of stocks, that's where the equal weight comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we've been most of the time. So go back, if you look at the returns, if you go back and look at from year 2000, say December 31st, 2000, to current, you're going to find that the small cap, S&P small cap, that's the SML, and these are large stocks. They're not little stocks. Up about 378%. You look at the mid cap, is up about 278%, the MID. If you look at the equal weighted S&P 500 during this period, like 17 years, you're going to see that that's up about 178%. The cap weight that most people, that all you hear about in the media, that most people want to be like, is up like 60-some percent.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
These are all indexes, but these indexes, if I was talking to one of my clients and they said, I want to index, which one do you want? Would you have liked to have been in the SML or the S&P 600 all this time for the last 17 years, or would you like to be in the one that the media only knows, the cap weight S&P 500? The answer is, you give me those numbers, I'll take that. I'll take the 600.
Give me some small caps.
Darn right, but they're not. But they're like billion-dollar companies.
Well, right, yeah, 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 absolutely.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
And I'll say one more thing. I manage all of our family accounts, and I mean down to nieces and nephews. You know, where there isn't much in the account.
Mm-hmm.
Grandchildren. You know, where...
Yeah, some grandchildren's accounts. Yeah, yeah.
My newest grandchild, Coleman, he's 7 months old now.
Yeah.
He's got Apple. Okay, so I bought him a stock. Okay, great. You know, you're gonna own Apple.
Yeah.
If it goes down, maybe I'll buy you some more Apple. If it goes further down, maybe I'll buy you some more Apple. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
As they get older, like my grandchild, Charlotte, she's 5 years old now. Her portfolio has begun to morph a little bit differently. She owns the Qs. She owns the equal-weighted S&P 500. She owns the SML,
mm-hmm.
the IJR, I think it is, and so on. As the older they get, the more I get more into indexing. And there's so many different accounts that I have. One account is just, look, 25% QQQs, 25% RSP, 25% mid-cap, 25% SML, done.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I don't have to worry about that portfolio. I don't have to buy Tesla and watch it go down 87 points in one day.
Yeah.
So there's so much that can be done today that you couldn't do when I was a stockbroker. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, and there's tools.
Yes.
That are at your disposal today, mm-hmm. that weren't there, right?
We didn't have tools back then.
Tools meaning tools on our site,
mm-hmm.
but then also tools as in ETFs.
Yep.
That is a tool in your business. And, you know, it's interesting because you think of an ETF, and one of the I heard somebody describe all the ETF is a piece of technology. They took a mutual fund technology, said here's an ETF, similar type of wrapper, but it does it more efficiently.
Exactly.
And so the ETF is technology that you can use as a tool in your business.
But you know what? If I told that to Mr. Jones or Mrs. Smith,
mm-hmm.
she'd say, "What do you mean?" But if I told her, I said, you know, what's an ETF? And I showed her a picture of a school of fish.
Yeah.
There's your ETF of the school of fish. Oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. This is what you got to think about,
yeah.
is the analogies like that. You can't confuse people. The school of fish, go to Google, type in school of fish. You see image, click it, then put copy on it and put it on a put it on a PowerPoint, you know?
Yeah.
And then when someone looks at the school of fish, they get it.
I can see it. They can visualize it.
They visualize.
See him swimming through the water.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, at any rate, I could go on forever talking about these things. We better stop for now, huh?
Sounds good.
Okay. See you next week.